I'd like to spend a little time this morning on this reading from Genesis because it actually has a lot of interesting implications for things which are practices, if you will, of the human family, but are in some dispute today. Disputed issues that come up among us in these kind of culture wars in which we find ourselves engaged today. It says, first of all, I want you to notice that the mandate given to Noah and his sons is that they be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now, again, there are many who say today, oh, no, no, we must depopulate. We're evil, you know, we human beings. This is a bad thing that we exist at all, and we should at least limit our numbers, and we're bad, we pollute, you know, all these things. Well, I don't know that maybe we couldn't hear something that we should live a little more reasonably or pollute a little less, but in the end, the idea that somehow we should depopulate, that somehow we should, that there's a population explosion and so on is contrary to biblical mandates that we are to not only be fertile, but we are to multiply. Notice, not just merely replace ourselves, but to multiply, to have large families to grow and to fill and to populate the earth. We've been through this long period where we've had this anxiety about population explosions and so on. And really, again, it's a lot of fear-mongering in the end. The Malthusian, dilemma has never materialized. Somehow we would get to a point, Thomas Malthus said, that we could no longer feed ourselves and we would simply start dying by starvation, that the planet could no longer sustain us. And, of course, we find that, in fact, we have plenty of food and much of our food is left rotting in our barns and we're actually burning some of our food as fuel now. I mean, this is, how unripe he was. And also, I don't know if it ever occurs to you, if you ever read things like this, but that there are about, a little over 6 billion people on the planet, and if you were to take every one of these 6 billion people and put them four to a home on a quarter acre each, which is a typical sort of, suburban kind of, setup, about a quarter acre, four to a house, and how big would the suburb have to be? And the answer is about twice the size of the state of Texas. We're not that many people on the planet. Now, I understand you can't put people that way. We have to have parks and, sewage treatment plants. And, you can't just pack people in that like that. But I just want you to get a visual image of what is the human footprint on this large planet on which we live. And it isn't that big, actually. And so, again, a lot of this fear-mongering has been inappropriate and wrong. Yes, in some places people live in a remarkable density, where people are packed in tight. But for whatever reason, we people like to cling into cities and pack in together. This is part of our nature. And sometimes we do experience problems with traffic. Don't tell me anyone didn't have some trouble getting here this morning. We do have problems with these sorts of things. But they're rather localized because, again, we tend to pack in rather closely. Why? Because we need each other. We need resources. We share. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But please don't mistake the idea that somehow every square inch of the planet is taken up by us. So be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. This is what God has told us to do, you see. So, again, one of the matters in dispute today, there is some biblical teaching here. It says here, interestingly enough, that up until this point, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but God had given a vegetarian diet to the human family. But now, as Noah gets out of the ark, God says, it says here that every creature that is alive shall be yours to eat. I give them to you as I gave you before the green plants. So again, up until this point, there had been a kind of a vegetarian diet. Now, God says you're permitted to eat meat. Now again, there may be health reasons to avoid eating meat. I'm not saying that there aren't legitimate reasons, but this idea that somehow it's evil or wrong to eat meat would not be a biblical notion. So it is here that we see that some of the extremists in PETA and others, again, there's a biblical answer to some of this. In fact, it says here, interestingly enough, regarding the animals and human beings, that dread fear shall come upon you dread fear shall come upon all the animals of the earth in regard to you. into your power, they are delivered. Right? So, to have beast of burden, to make use of animals for some of our needs is again part of the gift, if you will, that God gave us as human beings. Now, again, I'm not saying abuse animals and treat them badly and miss, you know, just decimate, well, decimate, but to wipe them out, you know, as we have sometimes done, you know, through bad management of animals and so on, like wiping out the buffalo that we practically did. I'm not saying we're prevented to act in this manner, but I'm just simply saying that there is, again, a biblical mandate that is given to us that we are permitted to make use of animals and that we are to dominate them and we have sovereignty over them. And this is just a fact. Now, you know, again, in the public discourse, people say, oh, you can't quote from the Bible. That's unfair. Well, I'm just saying to you, as Christians, though, we ought to have some idea that there are some answers actually in the Bible to some of these matters of dispute today. God repeats here then that I want you to be fertile and multiply and abound on the earth and subdue it. Subdue the earth. Whoa, wait a minute. The environmentalists say to us that we're supposed to, you know, again, but part of our mandate from God is to, quote, subdue the earth. There is a place for us to take down trees and cultivate the ground and turn it into farms. Now, I'm not saying wipe out the forest. I'm not saying go crazy and be inappropriate. But I'm just saying, once again, that the earth is given to us to make use of. This is simply, a biblical thing. You know, every now and then you see these bumper stickers, at least in the past, that said earth first. I'm sorry, that's not biblical. Man first. Again, make careful use of the resources God has given us. Treat the planet with respect. Come to understand its balance. Yes. Let's have this dialogue with the environmentalists, but not radical environmentalism. That is not biblical. And then he says here, and get into a question of the death penalty. Now, again, I want to state from the beginning that I would not favor the use of the death penalty at this time in our human history. I would also say that the popes, recent popes, are in agreement with this. However, none of them have said that we absolutely, as Catholics, must reject the death penalty in the same way that we must reject abortion. And the problem, the reason for that is that the Bible actually in places affirms not just the Old Testament, but even the New Testament, the use of the death penalty, and even gives biblical reasons for it. Now, let me just read the text. If anyone sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God has man been made. It says here, and I will demand an accounting for human life, says the Lord. Now, notice God not only indicates the death penalty if you murder someone, but it gives the reason that you cannot kill someone who is in the image of God. Again, this is just inappropriate. And God therefore says that the death penalty should be used. Now, should be used is not an absolute mandate, and therefore there are some other New Testament texts that would sort of mitigate this a bit, but not take it away. Even Paul says to the Romans, you know, look, man, don't mess around, because if you do, the emperor might put you to death, you know, if you wield the sword, as Paul puts it, in other words, behead you. And in so doing, will act as a minister of God's justice. So, you know, again, although the New Testament would mitigate the use of the death penalty, it does not take it away, and even affirms that there's a place for the state to use this punishment. Now, again, that doesn't mean we have to use it, and that's what the popes are really saying to us recently. Look, you don't have to use this. Let's use other less violent means. Why? Well, because the popes have, you know, Paul VI, John Paul, and now Benedict, are all deeply concerned that in our world today, especially in the West, we have decided that death is the solution to a lot of our problems. And we've got to get over that, they're saying. We've got to stop saying that the solution to our problems is the death of another human being. Oh, look, there's an inconvenient baby. Kill it. Abort it. Oh, look, this person is taking a long time to die, and they're using resources. Inject them. Kill them. Get rid of them. You know. There's a violent criminal. How will we deal? Kill them. Get rid of them. You see, this is a deep concern for recent pontiffs, and really for the whole church, you know, that increasingly there's this culture of death. Oh, look, there's too many human beings. Well, take chemicals and stamp out your fertility. Let's not have these human beings exist, you see. Death, 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 death. Every time you look, a culture of death. And so the popes have asked us to be very mindful of this and not use the death penalty, since it seems to feed into that whole mentality. All right. So it's a prudential judgment, not a dogmatic definition here, which the popes could not make because of what Scripture teaches. Well, okay, that's going on, so I won't say a couple of other things. But you see, these are disputed issues today, and I would just simply ask you to listen to what Scripture says, what the Church teaches, and again, allow your minds to be formed. There are important things that the environmentalists and other things, other groups have to say to us that we should not completely ignore. But on the other hand, there are limits, and the scriptural text can help us to appreciate the limits of these arguments. And we ought to have a very powerful sense of what God's Word says, not just what is popular today, not just what is demanded today by various groups, but rather also what God teaches us, about these important issues. Amen.